Genesis 46. We are hastening to the end, aren't we, folks? What a year it has been. Last week, Theron helped us through the passage, the story, the event of Jacob and his family leaving the promised land, Canaan, and departing for Egypt. Today, in 46, we're going to be at 31, they arrive in Egypt. They meet Pharaoh, they settle there. There are three words on which to hang our thoughts and center our discussion today from this passage. I picture them as pegs on which we can hang our thoughts: vocation, location, and duration. So we're going to read this text, and I want you to be looking for maybe not those exact words, but words that give us that sense. We're going to pick up toward the end of chapter 46, Genesis 46, and in verse 31, and then we're going to slide into 47 as well. Let's ask the Lord's favor as we open his word. Father, if, as Moses said elsewhere, if you do not go up with us, we dare not go at all. So we say the same to you at this hour. If you do not go up with us, speak to us, draw our hearts to you, open this word, many things along those lines, then we dare not go at all. And we ask you to do this because it is your word and because it's what you want us to hear and because it's life to us and because your Holy Spirit authored it. For these and other reasons, we ask you to do this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Chapter 46, Genesis, verse 31. Verse 28, Judah and his father and his whole family, all of them, were coming down to Egypt. Jacob sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out the way to Goshen. They came into the land of Goshen. Joseph prepared his chariot, went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And as soon as he appeared before him, he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a long time. And Israel said to Joseph, now I can die since I've seen your face, that you are still alive. And here's our passage for today. And Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and tell Pharaoh, and will say to him, my brothers and my father's household, who were in the land of Canaan, have come to me, and the men are shepherds, for they have been keepers of livestock, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come about, when Pharaoh calls you and says, what is your occupation, that you shall say, your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth even until now, both we and our fathers, that you may live in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is loathsome to the Egyptians. Some of your versions say abhorrent, say abomination, detestable. Every shepherd is these things to the Egyptians. So then Joseph went in and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brothers and their flocks and their herds and all that they have come out of the land of Goshen, and behold, they have come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to his brothers, what is your occupation? So they said to Pharaoh, your servants are shepherds, both we and our fathers. And they said to Pharaoh, we have come to sojourn in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants, flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, please let your servants live in the land of Goshen. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is at your disposal. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them live in the land of Goshen. And if you know any capable men among them, then put them in charge of my livestock. Then Joseph brought his father, Jacob, and presented him to Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how many years have you lived? So Jacob said to Pharaoh, the years of my sojourning are 130. Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life, nor have they attained the years that my father lived during the days my fathers lived during the days of their sojourning. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from him his presence. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had ordered. And Joseph provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to their little ones. We'll stop there. What, as you see this passage, do you see a vocation in there? I'm going to be inviting you to interact with me a lot today. Do you see a vocation? Let me hear you. Keepers of livestock. Shepherds. You got it. Do you see a location? Goshen. The land of Goshen. Some of us remember older folks in our coming up years. Good land of Goshen, they would say. Where is that land of Goshen? Here it is, right here. And then how about a duration? Do you see a duration? Or do you see any words that tip you off to duration? 130 years, okay. Anything else? Now, that was the age of Jacob when he answered Pharaoh, right? Any other words that tip you off to duration? You might find this a bit of a stretch, but it worked for me, so I'll share it with you. Your servants are shepherd, verse 4, and we have come to sojourn. What does sojourn mean? What? Stay for a while, would you say? Spend some time, travel through, but not staying, sojourn. And then so that was the word that gave me the sense of duration. It's not forever. Now, why are these words significant in this story? For Joseph, for Jacob, for the brothers. That's my first part. Why are they significant for them? And then where we're headed is, why are these words significant in our story? Not just their story, but in our story. Let's first go to the vocation, the shepherds. I think we already did that, didn't we? Okay. Why are the shepherds? Did you notice something odd as we traveled through these passages that he says, every shepherd, every keeper of livestock is loathsome or abhorrent or an abomination or detestable to the Egyptians. Different translations, I put the words there for that. If you want to track with me, there's this tremendous repetition, 46 verse 34. Your servants have been keepers, and he says, for every shepherd is loathsome. And then verse 1 of 47, flocks and herds. And then verse 3, shepherds, and verse 4, flocks, and 47:6, livestock. What is that all about? What's the big deal? Why are shepherds loathsome, detestable to the Egyptians? So I had to study that. And there's a number of reasons that people feel that this was the case. Shepherds were probably detestable to the Egyptians because it reflected, their attitude reflected a common distrust of nomadic people. Flocks and herds, you guys aren't sticking around, are you? No telling what you'll take from us on your way. No telling what your skeletons in your closet are in the last place you lived. Is that really true? Do we carry that attitude, humanity, in our day and time about gypsies who just don't stay put? There's something sketchy, something fishy is sort of the mentality. I'm not saying it's justified, but that's what we see, right? So that'd be one thing. You guys are nomadic. We're urban dwellers. We're settled. We're civilized. What about you guys? Another thing would be their garments. Egyptians wore garments of linen, smooth, launderable, and so forth. Shepherds, almost universally in that time, wore garments of wool. which we say, what's the problem with that? Well, as they processed the wool retained the fats of the animal that it came from and the odors. And furthermore, the shepherds were out nomadicking around and not bathing, and so the wool retained their odors as well. And so you could probably smell one coming even around a corner before you saw him. And so the shepherds, yeah, because the shepherds hung out with their flocks, they probably smelled a lot like him. So all of this, the shepherd vocation was probably a disgraceful one in the eyes of the Egyptians. And interestingly, we see that stigma attached to shepherds even down at the time of Christ's arrival, his birth. To whom did the angels appear, and why was it such an offense to the shepherds? Because, as we know from first century history, and probably before, a shepherd's testimony was not even allowed in court because they were such lowlifes they couldn't be counted on to be truthful. I didn't write that. Other people did. That's what they saw. So the stigma of a shepherd, whether it's justified or not, the smell, the lifestyle, the odor, the character, stigmatized all the way down into the time of Christ. So Egyptians, every shepherd is loathsome to the Egyptians. Where did we first encounter that concept? You remember the brothers came to Joseph and he said, we're going to have a meal together. And what was the seating arrangement? Joseph, the number two in command, sat by himself at his table. The Egyptians sat by themselves at their table. And all of the brothers sat by themselves at another table. Why? Because shepherds, it says, are loathsome to the Egyptians. They smell, keep them over there, look how they dress. Frumpy, whatever else you want to go with that. Every shepherd, we don't know why we do it. We just know shepherds are loathsome, probably the young children said. Pretty soon they smelled one. Who knows? So what does Joseph tell his brothers that they should say to Pharaoh when he asks them their occupation? We are shepherds. Both we and our fathers have been shepherds from our youth even till now, wearing it with a badge of honor, aren't they? Why is that? Why would he tell them to tell that? And why over and over and over? You saw how many times shepherds, livestock, herds. Are we getting the impression, Mr. Pharaoh, that we are of the shepherdly type? What did they wear? They wore shepherd garments in there. Interestingly, when after Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, he gave them gifts. What did he give them? Changes of clothes, so you guys can smell decent. That's in the margin, but it's probably likely, so that you guys aren't so offensive. And by the way, here's some really nice linen garments from Egypt. And he gave Benjamin 5 changes. I don't know if that meant he was favored or needed extra help. I'm not sure. So why is it so important that Joseph and his brothers be known as shepherds, keepers of livestock? Hold that thought. We're going to come at it from another direction. Location. What was the location? The location was Goshen. Where is Goshen? There's the Nile Delta in the green there, and you can see circled the word Goshen. It's on the eastern side of the Nile Delta, and I'll zoom in a little bit, and you can see where Ramses is. That wasn't named Ramses at this time, but it became so named later, but we think that was the seat of power right in that area to the left there. But you can see Goshen borders on the Nile. Why is that significant? Go to Exodus, baby Moses in the Nile, when when the princess of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile. There's you know, so there's probably some interesting things there, but we'll not touch on that now. But Goshen was a fertile land, fertile for pasturing, agriculture, for pasturing of livestock. And so Joseph says, way back when he reveals his himself to his brothers, go, bring my father and everybody and come down and you'll live in the land of Goshen. Now they have come, told them where to go. They went to the land of Goshen. He goes and tells Pharaoh, they've come to the land of Goshen. What does Pharaoh think in that moment? Oh, they're telling me they're livestock people, they're shepherds. Good, they're in the livestock region of my kingdom, Goshen. Happy to have you all there. Thank you very much. And by the way, if you know any good of your brothers that can handle livestock, love for you to keep my livestock too. See, somebody's got to take care of these animals, just not us. And a later Pharaoh, not too much later, what I learned was they had a massive amount of flocks. And so somebody has to take care of those. Who does it? See if I can find it here. This one Pharaoh had 3,492 servants, people, taking care of all of his personal livestock. But they were mostly foreigners. Oh. We need it done. We just don't want to do it. Thank you very much. We'd love for you to take. And so here we are. We're in the land of Goshen, which is the land of livestock and shepherds and my animals. I need the animals. They smell, and the people that take care of them. Yeah, y'all do that, would you please? You get the idea? So Goshen, when I was studying this, I underlined every Goshen. Verse 34, Goshen, chapter 47:1, Goshen, verse 47, Goshen, verse 6, Goshen, and then synonym, verse 11, the land of Ramesses, another designation. Why do you think this is that Joseph makes it so clear that they are to tell Pharaoh they're shepherds, keepers of livestock? We've been that way for generations. Why is it so important that they live in the land of Goshen? Why is it so important that that be said? I'd like to have your thoughts. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Sally says to keep them separate. Any other thoughts? Keep them separate. Separation between God's people and the people of the land of Egypt. Okay, other thoughts? Should we just go with what Sally's saying and be done with this? Didn't want them adopting those things, Carol says, adopting the Egyptian way of life. Okay. Okay, retain their identity, Carol says. I'm saying this on here for them. Okay. Other thoughts? It's handier on the east side for the Exodus. Very good. Okay. Other thoughts? Okay. Eric? Closer to the Red Sea that we're going to have to cross someday. Did Joseph know these things? I don't know about the Red Sea, but we are going to see that he knew about them going back, like Lindsay said. All right. Well, I think all of you are touching on it, and you got it right. Keep this race distinct, separate. Don't intermarry. Don't adopt the ways. And that's why they use the word sojourn. We're here just because of the famine. And by the way, they brought their flocks and herds. We're not going to be a burden on the kingdom of Egypt. They brought their flocks and their herds with them. And the brothers say, we would like permission to sojourn, stay for a while in Egypt because the famine is so severe. And then we'll head on out. That was the implication of the word sojourn. One translation says, live here as temporary residents. The word there used is dwell as a newcomer without original rights. That becomes significant because they might not have had permission to buy property as a result of that. But the significance is this is not where we intend to stay. So what was behind that? You're putting everything together. The distinctiveness with a negative flair, Goshen, shepherds, and now this word sojourn. What is the, how do we put all this together? And more importantly, as we view this text, what was the framework of Joseph's thinking as he contemplated everything that has gone on? You know, I'm here in Egypt. I've been promoted to second in command. There's this terrible famine. My brothers show up, and all of the pieces are beginning to make sense to Joseph. Of course, he says to his brothers in a different sense, don't be hard on yourselves. It was God who brought me here. What else is in Joseph's grid as he thinks about everything that has gone on, not just in his lifetime, but his father's lifetimes, that would give him a sense that we are here by God's appointment and we need to be judicious in our time sojourning here? Can you think of anything that comes to mind? Let me refresh you. What were some of God's promises that absolutely, positively were handed down to Joseph, to Abraham? The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. Which land? Canaan. All the land you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. Canaan. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. To your descendants I've given this land. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings. Interesting word there. All the land of Canaan. Abraham was sojourning. He didn't actually possess, other than the one cave, any of the land. He was sojourning. Hebrews picks that sense up, doesn't it? They were strangers and exiles, or strangers and aliens in a foreign land. And then I will give to you and your descendants all this land. The Lord who swore to me, he was telling his servant to go get a wife for Isaac. The Lord who swore to me, saying to your descendants, I will give this land, over and over again. That's Abraham. How about Isaac? Sojourn in this land. He was telling him, don't go down to Egypt, Isaac. We're not ready for you to go to Egypt. That'll be later. That's in the margin. Sojourn in this land of Canaan, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. Now here come to Jacob. And the Lord stood above that ladder and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. The land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give it to you, and I will give the land to your descendants after you. And God said to Jacob, behold, I will make you fruitful and numerous, and I will make you a company of peoples, and will give this land to your descendants after you for an everlasting possession. What is Joseph discerning? As all of this is unfolding, his dreams as a youth, all the things that his father and grandfather in Joseph's own hearing, and then by their retelling of Abraham, that God's plan is. The plan is Canaan. But for whatever reason, they're here now in Canaan, and then triggers the thought. You remember what he said to Abraham in that dream, that covenant-making dream? God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years, but I will also judge that nation whom they will serve, and after they will come out. You're Joseph. You're putting all the pieces together, and you're saying, I see it now. I see it. This is God directing us to come down here. We must stay pure. We must be separate. We must not intermarry and dilute what God has said to our descent. We must worship the one true God. We're shepherds. That we are. Let that be our badge of honor to Pharaoh and to everybody around here. We'd be happy to stay in the livestock portion Goshen while we sojourn. What do you think? So much so, now Joseph didn't have this knowledge, I don't believe, at this time, but he got it soon afterward. Remember when, remember from Theron's message last week, Jacob prepares to come down to Egypt at his son's invitation. And on the way, he stops to worship at Beersheba. And there, the Lord appears to Jacob in the night and says to him, "Don't be afraid. I'm God of your father. Don't be afraid to go down to Egypt." He remembers that his father, Isaac, was told, "Don't go down to Egypt. This is the land that I'm going to give you." So he needs this word, and the Lord gives it to him. "Don't be afraid to go down to Egypt. There I will make you a great nation." And later on, he says to his sons as he's approaching his own death, "Do not bury me here. Bury me in Canaan, in the land of my fathers, with my fathers. Swear to me." You remember that? And Joseph himself has obviously put all the pieces together upon his death. "Don't you leave my bones down here. You take them up to Canaan." Now, put all of this together. What's going on? Joseph is discerning all of the promises that came before him. God's sovereign control of the weather, no rain for 7 years. God bringing his brothers, one day they appear in front of him. He's putting together everything he remembers from his father and grandfather and great-grandfather, the promises of God, the assurances, and he is living in the light of those promises. Have you ever wondered why the children of Israel did not quickly return to Canaan as soon as the famine was over? They were not held in bondage until much later. Why did they not return to Canaan? I think by then, the consensus of all the faithful was, God is doing this thing and he intends for us to be, because we read over in one of these verses that, they became prosperous and, I hate it when I can't find it. 47:27? Yes, that's it. Thank you, Sally. "Now Israel lived in the land of Egypt, in Goshen, and they acquired property in it and were fruitful and became very numerous." I think by then they had seen what God was doing, took it in line with all the promises. Jacob's, "Don't you leave me here." Joseph's, "Take my bones from here." God is doing something, but it's for a season. We are just sojourners and we are headed back to Canaan. In God's time, probably pulled out that 400-year thing that he told Abram. And all of this together said, we're staying put. But Joseph, key to this whole thing, is saying, we're going to be separate. We're going to hold up high the flag of our shepherdness, of our livestock keepers, of our smelly wool garment type people. We don't smell it anymore. We're happy with ourselves. I don't know. You know how that goes? We're happy with Goshen. We're going to stay pure, devoted to the Lord. We don't want to intermarry, so on and so forth. Well, what is the significance of all of this to us? If you take the concept of vocation and location, and you travel forward to the New Testament, do we find some things in the New Testament where the Lord says to us, you're not from here. You're just passing through. Your citizenship is in heaven. Peter says, you are, in the King James, a peculiar people, a chosen race, in other translations, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Paul said to the Corinthians, don't be bound together with unbelievers. come out from their midst and be separate. And John, writing to the churches, don't love the world or the things of the world. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. Stay pure, stay separate. This isn't your home. Peter writes to those in his opening verse of the first epistle, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout, so on and so forth. Hebrews 11, all of these, that great faith chapter, died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them from afar, having welcomed them from a distance, they confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Nowhere do we find it written about Joseph, these words. And he believed God, and God credited it to him as righteousness. We don't find that about Joseph. We find that about Abraham. That's an explicit statement. But what was Joseph doing? He took all the things in. He wrestled. Oh, man, of course. This and this and this, and stacked them one on top of another. And he believed God. And he acted on it. He acted on the promises. He lived in the light of the promises. Now, how are you and I living in light of the promises? What promises? What are some of the promises, bedrock promises, that God has given to us? We know we're strangers and aliens. Jesus said, you're going to be hated by all men on account of me. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. Rejoice if you're mistreated, so they treated the prophets. This place, he didn't say this, but he implied it. This place isn't what you're living for. Seek first the kingdom of God. You're just passing through. So are we living in light? Are you and I living in light of the promises? What are the promises God has given us that we should be doing as Joseph did, living in light of those promises? I'll tell you one that's been right before our eyes, thanks to Richard Peters. You talk with them very, very long. You spend any time with them at all, and they're thrilled that he has been delivered to no longer remain in the place of his sojournings, but to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Who can say that? Those who've counted on the promises of God. And I could go around the room. How about the promises that these trials and tribulations are Father filtered in love to you and me, did not come apart from his love and care and graciousness? Are we living in light of those promises that have been given to us? What are some of the other promises God has absolutely given to us that we can go to the bank with, bedrock promises, by which we, like Joseph, act on those promises? I will never leave you or forsake you. And when we act on those promises, like Joseph, we're walking a life of faith on those promises. And even though it isn't said in Scripture about Joseph, he believed God and God credited it to him righteous. I know it's true. And it is also credited to our account when we walk by faith and we act on those promises. Here's Abraham. He believed in his heart and God credited it to him as righteousness. And here's Joseph. He believed in his heart also, and he walked in faith, and he did this, and he did that, and he responded because he was living in light of the promises. How are you and I walking? We just experienced the Global Impact Celebration, and a number of you said, I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm putting my confidence that God will supply seed to the sower so that I'll have the means by which to give this amount that's in my heart in my faith promise. And you guys have seen it proven year after year that God supplies. And there are any number of others. You take a stand at work and you say, I am not going to go down that road. It'd be a lapse of integrity. And because I believe what God, one after the other, living in light of the promises. This world is not my home. I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger, some of the songs say. Living in the light of our promises shows up in our checkbooks, shows up how we use our free time, who we are investing in, what we're investing in. It shows up in our interests. It shows up whether we're silent or whether we speak up to those around us about the eternity that is not much more than just around the corner for all of us. Shows up when we say, I will get out of my comfort zone and I'll be about the things of God instead of the easy things. I'm going to choose the hard road because it's the road that God has called me to. Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, we pray that we would follow in the footsteps of Joseph, who gladly owned his shepherdness for the purpose of following in your commandments, walking in the steps that you had prescribed. And Lord, I pray that we would own our peculiarity, our uniqueness, our even the offense that we carry, foolishness to the Greeks, stumbling block to the Jews. It's Jesus Christ and he alone for me, no matter the outcome. Persecution, thought less of. Lord, I want to welcome that as it means I am living according to the promises that you have declared. Help us each one to honor you by living out, living in the light of your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.